next case, the fifth case, Kirkland versus the United States. Mr. Quinn.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Morning.
May it please the Court, Sean Quinn on behalf of Jeffrey Kirkland. Your Honors, the District Court erred at Jeffrey Kirkland's resentencing when it determined that Mr. Kirkland, his 1985 felony offenses, occurred on occasions separate from one another. The District Court also erred in denying admission of Mr. Kirkland's testimony at that resentencing hearing. The main issue before the District Court was whether his 1985 Arkansas convictions constitute separate offenses. If the felonies occurred on separate occasions, then the Armed Career Criminal Act is triggered and his sentence was properly enhanced. If they did not, and they occurred on a single occurrence, then the enhancement does not apply. Your Honors, in 2006, Jeffrey Kirkland was found guilty of being a convicted felon in possession of a firearm, and the District Court sentenced him to 15 years with 3 years supervised release. If his sentence was not enhanced, the recommendations under the guidelines, given his criminal history, would have been 27 to 33 months. Jeffrey Kirkland filed a motion under 28 United States Code 2255, arguing that his sentence enhancement was improper, following the Supreme Court ruling in Begay that drunk driving is not a violent felony under the Armed Career Criminal Act. The District Court disagreed at that time and denied Jeffrey Kirkland's motion. This court vacated that judgment and remanded in light of Welsh v. United States, which held that Begay applied retroactively. Your Honors, the government contends that Jeffrey Kirkland's sentence was properly enhanced without the drunk driving convictions because he had three other violent felony convictions which occurred on separate occasions. In particular, a 1984 burglary, a 1985 burglary, and a 1985 aggravated robbery. The two 1985 convictions form the basis of this current dispute, and, Your Honors, the documentary evidence surrounding those two 1985 convictions used to enhance Jeffrey Kirkland's sentence is admittedly by the District Court, by Mr. Kirkland, and by the government sparse.
What do those documents show?
They show, there's
two informations, right?
There's two charging informations.
Mm-hmm.
Two of the four charging informations describe a person or a place where something occurred. Two of the charging informations, including the aggravated robbery, which is one of the felonies that was used to enhance his sentence,
mm-hmm.
include no evidence whatsoever of who the victim was or where the event occurred, where the crime occurred.
That's where you think there's some ambiguity.
Yes, Your Honor.
But doesn't that charging document, doesn't that reference that the property that was taken belonged to Domino's Pizza?
Your Honor, the theft charge states that it involved Domino's Pizza. If you look at the aggravated robbery charge,
I'm looking at the aggravated robbery charge, which is page 52 of the appendix.
Correct.
So it says, did unlawfully, feloniously, and with the purpose of committing a theft, and then with a deadly weapon, then the second paragraph says, took the property belonging to Domino's Pizza. Isn't that pretty conclusive under Shepard that you have two different events occurring?
Your Honor, I would disagree that the first paragraph somehow is related to the Domino's Pizza.
Okay.
When you take into context the other documents that have been that are in the record, mm-hmm. including that plea questionnaire, mm-hmm. which lists all four charges mm-hmm. together on both of the plea questionnaires.
You mentioned the word pizza, and I'm very piqued, and also a little hungry.
It does seem
that even under Mr. Kirkland's version of events, he had the opportunity to alter course and stop his behavior before assaulting the pizza delivery man. He could have surrendered. He could have turned and run out a different door of the house. He could have left without stealing from the delivery man. Isn't that the key here, that he could have changed his behavior between episodes?
Your Honor, Jeffrey Kirkland believes that the pizza delivery boy in this case is a red herring. Mm-hmm. It could just as easily be viewed, based on the Shepherd-approved documents in this case, that the armed aggravated robbery did not include the pizza boy at all. In fact, the district court references in their findings that Mr. Kirkland and his associates entered the home of Mr. Gabbard to rob him. Mm-hmm. Our contention is that that was where the aggravated robbery could have come from, but there's no evidence that it came from anywhere else. The information regarding the aggravated robbery makes no reference to any victim, time, or location. The only evidence that shines light on the aggravated robbery is Jeffrey Kirkland's testimony in regard to the robbery of Mr. Gabbard.
Okay, so then looking at these charging documents again, the one that I'm referencing, which is Government's Exhibit B at page 52 of your appendix, is it your position that that first paragraph of the charging information refers to the offense that occurred against Mr. Gabbard? Is that your position?
We believe that it is just as viable a position as the government's in this case, or the idea that Mr. Kirkland robbed the pizza delivery boy.
But isn't that undermined by the document at page 51 of the appendix, which is Government Exhibit A, which is the charge involving Mr. Gabbard? And if I look at what's occurring here, and I've never been in Arkansas, but it just seems that you have two charging paragraphs that relate to the offense against Mr. Gabbard. And if I looked at this and looked at these two documents, which are at Appendix 51 and 52, you have two separate offenses. And isn't that what the Supreme Court wants judges to do under Shepherd, is look primarily at these objective documents as opposed to getting subjective explanations from either the prosecutor or a defendant such as Mr. Kirkland?
I agree with that, Your Honor, but mm-hmm. you also need to look at the other documents that mm-hmm. are involved. The charging information regarding the battery, mm-hmm. for instance,
right.
does not reference a place or a victim. I understand that one interpretation is that the battery occurred to Mr. Gabbard.
Mm-hmm.
If you take a look at the totality of the evidence, including Mr. Kirkland's testimony,
mm-hmm.
He testified that he battered the pizza delivery boy. We would admit that. But there's no evidence that he robbed anyone other than Mr. Gabbard. The robbery and the burglary are what enhanced his sentence. And based on all of the documents that are in the record, and we would assert that that should also include Mr. Kirkland's testimony, the preponderance of the evidence, we believe, mm-hmm. shows that the aggravated robbery and the burglary were committed against Mr. Gabbard on the same occasion.
Is it your view that this court should de novo review the interpretation of these two documents made by the district court judge?
And the other documents, Your Honor.
Okay.
Yes,
so is it a de novo review as opposed to a clearly erroneous review?
Well, you have the same documents available to you that the mm-hmm. district court had, so mm-hmm. yes, we would assert that.
Okay.
If there are no other immediate questions, we'd like to reserve.
Yeah, I have another question. Under Shepherd, can the misdemeanor theft charge be used to shed light on the nature of the other charges, even if the conviction itself cannot be used as a basis to enhance a sentence?
Yes, but I believe so, Your Honor, but I don't think it necessarily helps one party or the other in this case because of the sparsity of the information available.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Quinn.
Good morning again, Your Honors. My name is Emily Kirchhoff. May it please the Court, I represent the United States in this case. The burden of proof at the, what I will refer to as the sentencing hearing, which is essentially the evidentiary hearing on the 2255, the burden of proof was on the defendant to prove that these offenses occurred on separate occasions.
Yeah, but why doesn't his testimony combined with two identical plea questionnaires, the similar date and lack of time on the second charge, create enough real doubt to shift the burden back to the government to prove that the offense triggered the sentencing enhancement like it did in U.S. versus Black?
Under the district court's findings, and the government would argue that the defendant's testimony was not sufficient to shift that burden back, because in this case, Mr. Kirkland's offense of burglary against Mr. Gabbard was complete under Arkansas law when he entered Mr. Gabbard's home. So under Mr. Kirkland's testimony and his version of the events, if even if the aggravated robbery was to Mr. Gabbard as he was trying to leave the home, or if the attempted robbery was of the pizza boy when that person entered the home, those were separate and distinct offenses. Because the burglary was complete at the time that Mr. Kirkland first entered the home, as Your Honor mentioned, you know, Mr. Kirkland could have chosen to exit out of another door or just, you know, not have the altercation with Mr. Gabbard and leave the money and not choose to engage in any type of physical activity, be it aggravated robbery or battery, like he testified at the hearing. So the government's position is that, considering Mr. Kirkland's testimony, it just goes to show that this was indeed two separate offenses that occurred on different occasions. Going back to the informations, the aggravated robbery information does not specifically identify a victim in the paragraph that charges the aggravated robbery. However, Arkansas law in 1984 said that charges could only be combined or could be combined when they were based on the same conduct or a series of acts connected together. That is what led to the district court's conclusion that the aggravated robbery was to the Domino's Pizza Boy was the victim of that aggravated robbery, which is corroborated by the Exhibit 3, which the district court stated that it could not consider, but that was the prison admissions form where there is evidence that Mr. Kirkland robbed a pizza boy and then committed the burglary at Mr. Gabbard's home. Additionally,
what's your view of the same document I asked appellant's counsel about? That is, Exhibit B, reference at page 52 of the appendix.
It is the government's position that the pizza boy was, in fact, the victim of mm-hmm. the first robbery.
It doesn't mention his name, but the second paragraph mentions that what was taken in this aggravated robbery belonged to Domino's Pizza.
Correct. And that was a factual finding that the district court made, mm-hmm. which under this court's law is subject to a clearly erroneous view. The determination of whether these are separate and distinct offenses mm-hmm. is, of course, a legal conclusion that mm-hmm. Is reviewed de novo. But the underlying factual determination mm-hmm. that this particular information mm-hmm. involves the same victim would be a factual finding that is reviewed for clear error.
Once you look at the information and you reach that decision, is there a need for the district court judge to supplement that by looking at these other plea documents that are more administrative in terms of what court required for the taking of these two pleas to these separate charges?
This court's decision in Pollard stated mm-hmm. that the timing of the prosecutions is irrelevant to the separate and distinct mm-hmm. occasions inquiry. So the district court can certainly look at those plea questionnaires to determine if there were additional facts as to the offenses themselves, mm-hmm. but the fact that these two offenses were prosecuted essentially together, mm-hmm. They were charged in simultaneous case numbers, you know, pleas were given on the same day, et cetera, that does not weigh in the separate offenses inquiry.
What about Mr. Kirkland's affidavit, which the district court sort of considered, but not really?
The government's vision is that it is unclear whether or not the district court could consider that affidavit. Mm-hmm. However, the district court said on page 125 and 126 of the defendant's appendix in the sentencing hearing that affidavit only offers legal conclusions. There is one line on the affidavit. It's marked as, I guess, what would be paragraph 6, where Mr. Kirkland says these crimes were not committed on occasions separate from one another. That is simply the legal conclusion that the district court was trying to determine. The affidavit does not contain any facts about when these offenses occurred, how they occurred, who the victims were, where the locations were, any of the facts that under Hudspeth and this court's case law are important to that inquiry. It is the government's position that the two informations alone establish that these were separate offenses based on the factual findings by the district court that the aggravated robbery was the victim of that offense was the Domino's Pizza employee, and Mr. Gabbard was identified in both the burglary charge and the battery charge of the information found on page 51 of the appendix. Additionally, if this court were to consider Mr. Kirkland's testimony, the government contends that that is only bolsters the conclusion, the district court's conclusion, that these were separate offenses. If there are no further questions from the panel, the government would respectfully request that the district court's denial of the 2255 petition be affirmed. Thank you.
Mr. Quinn, I'm just going to check, see if you had any time left. You had no time, but you may have 2 minutes, Mr. Quinn.
Thank you, Your Honor. I would respectfully disagree that the battery charge in the information references Mr. Gabbard, as the government has stated. I would also respectfully agree with Her Honor that based on the informations, the plea questionnaires, that she is correct that the burden should have shifted back mm-hmm. to the government because there is real doubt about what actually occurred in 1985 in this matter. Regarding Mr. Kirkland's testimony, we believe that his testimony should have been allowed, and the government seems to have taken a neutral position on that, but we believe that his testimony, possibly not the affidavit that he submitted, but we believe that the testimony that he gave at that hearing sheds light on our position in this case. The government has not been able to provide anything other than the fact that the aggravated robbery and the misdemeanor theft of property are on the same information to support the idea that the robbery and the burglary were committed on separate occasions. If there are no other questions, Your Honors, We ask that the district court's denial of his 2255 motion be reversed. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Quinn, and thank you, Ms. Kirchhoff. Mr. Quinn, you were appointed in this case, correct?
Yes.
Well, we on the court want to give you an additional thanks for accepting this appointment and ably representing Mr. Kirkland.
Thank you, Your Honor.
All right. Case taken under advisement.